From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, June 22, 2026. Democratic Senate hopeful Graham Plattner was endorsed by Planned Parenthood Action Fund President Alexis McGill Johnson today in Portland for his support to restore reproductive freedoms. Carol Bousquet reports.
Plattner is challenging Republican incumbent Susan Collins in one of the most watched Senate races in the country. Collins has come under scrutiny for confirming conservative Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, one of the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022. Plattner says he won't forgive Collins for her support of Kavanaugh, and he criticized establishment Democrats who he says failed to codify reproductive rights in federal law.
We need to be clear, it's not enough to just go back to Roe. We need to enshrine those rights in federal law forever and all time to make sure that we are not just one bad judge away from seeing rights stripped away from 26 million Americans.
Collins said recently that she does not regret her vote for Kavanaugh. Collins' office did not respond to a request for comment. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
The Mi'kmaq Nation has obtained a new land parcel of over 3,400 acres. The parcel will more than double the tribe's land holdings. The Conservation Fund purchased the parcel last year from a local forester and held the land for the tribe until fundraising was completed.
We see this as an opportunity to permanently stabilize very important landscapes that complement the land conservation work that has already been ongoing in the state for many years, but with a lens of tribal sovereignty as a very significant partner.
Tom Duffus of the Conservation Fund says the tribes and nations are leaders in stabilizing and maintaining Maine's land resources, and that this is part of an ongoing campaign to return 50,000 acres to the Wabanaki Nations. Leaders of the union representing many state employees remain at loggerheads with the Mills administration over the issue of pay raises in a new contract. Kevin Miller has more.
Thousands of executive branch employees across state government have been working without a contract since last June. And as with many contract negotiations, a key sticking point is wages. After mediation failed, a fact-finding panel recommended a 2.5% increase during the first year of the contract, followed by a 3% increase in the second year, plus a $1,250 bonus for each employee. Mark Brunton, president of the Maine Service Employees Association, says the union supports that compromise, even though it's well below its initial request of 5% a year. But he says the Mills administration's counterproposal of 2% per year is even less generous than their earlier offer.
That is regressive bargaining. They are moving backward. That is not good faith bargaining. That is bad faith, plain and simple.
In a statement, Sharon Huntley with the Maine Department of Administrative and Financial Services says four other state unions have already endorsed a similar deal. Huntley also noted that since Governor Janet Mills took office in 2019, state employee wages have increased by nearly 30%. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Disability rights advocates are denouncing a memo issued by the U.S. Department of Justice last week that gives states more authority to place people with disabilities in institutions instead of providing services in the community. Kim Moody of Disability Rights Maine says the memo sends a clear message that the federal government will no longer be a resource for lawyers and others who advocate for people with disabilities. And while the memo doesn't change longstanding civil rights laws, she says it threatens to weaken them.
No matter how well-intended state policymakers are, this opinion does give them an out to reduce their responsibility to serve people with disabilities in the community.
The American Civil Liberties Union also criticized the memo, calling it, quote, a blatant attempt to undermine the rights of disabled people. The Maine Climate Council is considering ways to make progress on state goals without federal support. Council co-chair Melanie Loisem says the latest version of Maine Won't Wait was written before the second Trump administration stripped funding and resources for climate action.
In some areas, including renewable energy development, federal actions are actively creating new barriers to progress. Those changes are slowing progress in some areas of the plan, but they are not stopping us.
Loizom says heat pump installations, local climate resilience projects, and land conservation are ways the state continues toward its climate goals. The council is halfway through its latest four-year plan and will deliver updated goals in 2028. Maine's wild blueberry growers and other specialty crop farmers could see some federal relief after last year's historic drought decimated much of the harvest. Farmers who reported their losses to the USDA have until August 7th to apply for funds through a program called Assistance for Specialty Crop Farmers. The Maine Wild Blueberry Commission estimates that growers took a $28 million hit during the 2025 crop year. Eric Venturini is the group's executive director.
All of this is happening within, you know, in our industry, within the context of ever-increasing costs to do things, to run a business, to purchase equipment, to hire a workforce. Everything costs more.
The program pays based on acreage. Wild blueberry farmers can expect to receive $225 per acre, up to $250,000 in total. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Lewiston, its challenges and opportunities for growth. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.